AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Joy 99.7 FM.
Around very good morning to every one of you tuned in and listening to us right here on Joy 99.7 FM. My name is Adam Knight Tay. Always a pleasure to be serving you of family lessons here on Joy 99.7 FM on Home Affairs, where our mandate is to make homes out of houses. Let me say a very big thank you to Amasha Partners Limited and iCare. Yum Vita, a delicious way to grow. Dano Milk, choose tasty milk, choose nourishment, choose Dano Milk. Dano Milk, go for it. There are sponsors on Home Affairs. And thank you for holding us down. Hang in there a while longer.
Joy 99.7 FM.
Hang in there, hang in there. Everything will surely fall in place. It's just a matter of time. I encourage you the way I encourage myself. Sometimes you go through certain things and you're wondering, da bang be kagbe. Maybe po. While I ask myself these questions, I quickly tap myself again. And I tell myself it's just a matter of time. So for you there, it's just a matter of time. Be encouraged. Everything is gonna be aye. This morning we're asking, could we be having fertility issues and how can we tell? Yet to tie the knot, but could we be having fertility issues? How can we tell? How can we tell? So after the family forum, right, we've been having a lot of questions and some very interesting questions. And one of the, I mean, somewhere last week or 2 weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago, someone, you know, came to look for me here in the office, and he had a very interesting concern, and that's what is actually, that has become the bedrock for this conversation. Let me just put it that way. He came to see me and wanted to have a conversation, but I didn't have the answers for him because I couldn't tell, you know. Initially, it looked like, oh, just a social problem, but then I noticed that, I mean, it was, you know, more, it had a lot of, you know, health implications, and he needed a lot of answers in that regard. And we got him, you know, answers, but I'm very sure that there are lots of you out there who may be thinking the same. So we thought that, okay, why don't we have a bigger conversation so that we address some of these issues. You would agree with me and believe that, look, there are lots of people who have ended up in marriage, and for one reason or the other, in as much as they were very hopeful that you're going to get into marriage and, you know, when you're ready, you have your children and you have them running around and you have, you know, that holistic family. Sometimes it doesn't end up that way. One of the common ones that the doctors will advise you on that we all know, I think that one has sunk in a little bit, is the sicklings, you know. That's quite easy. You do your checks and everything, and if you both are, your genotypes are both ASAS, you are advised that, look, you could end up with an SS child, and that can zap out the love and the energy out of your relationship, and you'll be putting the child through a lot of stress. And so sometimes you're advised, or quite often you're advised, not to enter into that marriage. And I actually know a couple who loved each other very much and had to go their separate ways because of this. And so this is one of them. But this one is an observation, right? He says that he hadn't paid attention, but they're in counseling. And that's when his mother started bringing the issues up that, I think your wife's family may be having fertility issues. She's not against the marriage. She's not fighting it. But her concern is, you people should begin to seek help even before you get into the marriage. Here's her observation. So the girl is an only child, okay? And the mother observed that her mother's sister, right, that's the girl's aunt, has been married for so long and hasn't been able to give birth. And she knows that they are praying about it, you know. I mean, I think they've been married for about 8 to 9 years. She doesn't have a child. So the mother observed that. And also observed that a few other people around them are going through some of these issues, you know. Is it the girl's uncle too? So the mother has picked up those things. And if your wife is an only child, her aunts and, you know, other close people to them are having, you know, okay, they are married, but they are not having children. They are married, they are not having children. And even your wife's mother had talked about how she struggled before she had the daughter and everything, and after then hasn't been able to conceive again and all that. Mommy is worried and has managed to get this young man worried as well. So not that I want to leave the girl or, you know, call it off, but now she's beginning to make me think that, could this really be something? And how do I even express, first of all, these fears to my woman and say that, look, this is what mommy has observed. Could we begin to talk to a doctor to find out if there are any issues, or if I also have issues that could even make our situation worse? How does he even go about this? So that's the social aspect. And then you're looking at the medical aspect, which is, could they really be having fertility issues? How do you tell? What do they have to do? And yeah, all of those things around it. And then, I mean, by the time Doc is done explaining some of these things to us, if we have, you know, a bit of time, we'll ask a few other questions that people have shared with us. So Dr. Paddy Ayete, good morning. I am well, thank you. How's Elima's health?
We are doing quite well.
Beautiful.
Good news for you by end of next month.
Say again.
Good news for you by end of next month.
What's happening?
I will tell you.
Oh, okay, great. That's a good one. I love good news, especially on a morning like this.
A rainy morning like this.
Congratulations in advance.
Thank you. I receive it.
So this is the main reason we summoned you here this morning, you know. My concern, and the reason I feel we should have this conversation, I stated it earlier, is the fact that a lot of people get into marriage very hopeful. I mean, mm-hmm. you can't really be an African couple
and decide that
we don't want to have children.
It's going to be have cost problems.
No way. It's not happening. And now that mommy has started picking up things and observing things, and it's not like I am in there fighting you don't marry, I am only concerned. Could her concerns be unfounded?
No, I think she's made a valid point. Mm. And the truth about marriage is challenging on its own.
Yeah.
And so you better go in with your eyes wide open, not your eyes wide shut. And so if the mother has observed, the potential mother-in-law has observed something that, hey, I think you need to take note of this. I don't have a problem with the person, but I do recognize the fact that I've made an observation.
Mm.
She is right to have made that observation.
Okay.
And he is right to have taken note of that observation, because all it's right. better to take note of it now than later.
Okay.
It's if he goes through the process and proves to be an unfounded concern,
then we're good.
We're happy. If he goes through the process and realizes that it is a problem, he can take steps to mitigate that situation earlier rather than later.
Okay.
The third point is, if he goes through the process and realizes there's something that cannot be solved, he has to choose, can I live with this or not?
Can I not?
And some can live with it.
Wow.
It's not a problem. They just go in knowing that this is the situation, I can handle it. It's okay.
Knowledge is power.
I cannot live my life without this person. I think with this person, I'm happiest. You must remember that marriage is about companionship from beginning to end. Children are fringe benefits.
Yeah.
There are people who have children, but they don't have children because none of their children are of any use in this world.
That's true.
It's true. And there are people who don't have children, but the number of children they have are more and are better quality than others who have given birth to their own children.
You're very right.
And there are some too who don't have children, and they are very happy enjoying their money and enjoying their life and being generous to their aunties and their uncles, and they are traveling around the world and they're having a full, fulfilled life.
Choices.
And there are some too who, for medical reasons, cannot have children. Now, no matter what they did, it's not going to work. But because they are married to the one they loved, care about, and they are focused on their marriage and their companionship, they live a very fulfilled life.
So, Doc, we will establish, first of all, that the issue of children in marriages, even from your perspective as a doctor, is a critical conversation that must be had.
Yes.
Before the marriage.
Yes. We want to know, do we intend to have children? Yes or no? How many children do we intend to have? Yes or no? Do we have a problem with the various genders? If you have all boys, if you have all girls, if you have this, if you have that, a discussion that we need to have so that we can bring our two separate islands and make them one country. We need to come up with, you know, what we agree on going forward.
Okay.
And then how we manage to handle these things. Because it's very interesting when somebody gets up and says, hey, as for me, I won't go and buy a child, so I won't do all these fertility treatments. So his is, if you can't have children naturally, everything else is zero. I think as a woman, you need to know going in that this is the person's position. So if it's not going to happen easily, but the kind of guy who will tell you, I won't go to hospital, I won't do sperm test, I won't do this, I won't do that. Know before you go in.
Great.
So having as much knowledge as possible, it's helpful.
Okay.
It's helpful.
Great. So this is a part of the conversation leading into marriage that you shouldn't leave to chance. No. Everything around it. It's not just a matter of the number of children we will have. I think usually that's what we focus on. How many children do I want to have? Oh, 3, 2. But you forget that there are lots of factors that will inform you even having one, right? Great. So, Doc, let's get to it. Let's assume that this young man, you are the person he's speaking with, and his first concern is, how do I even start talking to my fiancé about this? How does he even do the approach? I know that, I mean, we're going to talk about, you know, the medical aspect of it, but how do you even begin to tell?
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Your partner that this is an observation that I or my mother has made. And I am thinking that we should pay a bit more attention to it. How do you go about it?
Well, for one,
considering the sensibilities that come with it.
For one, I will not mention the mother issue.
Okay.
If it was me.
Okay.
I would just, you know, I think it's either you bring up the subject by a related discussion.
Okay.
In other words, we're having a chat at work today and somebody mentioned blah, 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 blah. And because I started getting concerned that, hey, maybe I should go and test myself. Because for all you know, I have, you know, the kind of problem that he's talking about. Mm-hmm. And if I have to do something about it, I think it's a good idea. So I'm actually thinking of, you know, going to do this kind of test. She would then respond as to whether she thinks it's a good idea, and hopefully she'll say, yeah, I think it's a very good idea. I'm like, okay, so hey, let's book an appointment so that both of us will go and see XY, this person, and try and get it checked out. She may respond. The method you use is depending on the on your audience, the kind of person you are talking to. And she may say, oh, okay, let's go and get it tested. Or no, I don't want to get tested. Like,
she
why?
May dismiss it.
Why don't you want to get tested? Why do you think you have a problem? But if it's a woman, that's what you say. Why don't you want to get tested? Do you think you have a problem? Then it becomes a whole interesting discussion. But if the person says yes, good for you. If the person says no, you say you don't think it's a good idea. You know, why don't you think it's a good idea? And discussion continues. You must remember that your objective is to get the person to yes.
Mm.
Not to prove a point. Mm. Get the person to yes. Not to prove a point. Not to win an argument. Winning arguments is very useless. It is to get the person to yes. Another method is to, you know, ask a few questions. So why come your mother didn't have other children after you?
Yeah, so who?
and then she'd give that explanation. And then you'd go further into...
This case, I mean, then no, because the mother has already... You know how when you have an only child, sometimes you want to let the person who is coming into the child's life know that this is a very precious child to me because I really suffered before having the child and all that. So you have told the story already.
Okay, so the first question has been answered. How come you're an only child?
Mm.
Then you go on to say, oh, how come... Ah, but your mother's sister too... I've also noticed that she has one, or she's been struggling, or that kind of stuff. Charlie, knowing how much you want to have children, I think, you know, we should check it out. But I'll be very disappointed if I'm not able to give you the child that you so dearly want as quickly as possible. Then, you know, take the blame and then push the thing forward. Then okay. You go to the clinic.
So I guess that it will not be a very, very simple...
No.
It will be very simple.
You establish the grounds and then you build on it.
It might take a very long time.
It's one conversation. It's one conversation. But by the time you get to the end, you've put the person in the... preferably after she's eating her favorite food, is in a good mood, her boss hasn't made her upset. But the objective is to get her to, hey, I think we should run some tests so that we know... this. Like, now, if you come to me at the clinic and you say you're trying to have a baby, we'll ask you, how long have you married? How often do you have sex?
So if, this is granting that we have now realized, we have agreed that we are going to the hospital.
No. If you come and say you're trying to have a baby,
okay.
I'm trying to make a different point. We'll say, how long have you married and how often do you have sex? So if you are below 35 and if you're married for less than a year, we would say, hey, give it more time. So we'll run tests for you later on. Or we say, you're having sex less than 3 times a week. We say, hey, have sex more, do 3 times a week. Technically, we want you to have sex 3 times a week for at least a year and be unsuccessful in having a child. Then we'll say you have a problem.
Okay.
Unless you're older than 35. Unless your menses are irregular, you know, PCOS people and that kind of things. Or unless you know you have a problem. Then we want to speed things up quickly. So if we know you have a problem, we will not tell you, wait and come back in six months. We'll tell you, hey, immediately, now, you start your treatment. So that knowledge helps you to get there. Immediate attention that you would need because of the fact that we have this thing.
Okay.
There's a family I know. They have a family of sisters. And they have excruciating menstrual pain.
Okay.
And the pain is so bad that they come to the hospital and request that remove your uterus. Remove their uterus. They ask for it.
And they don't have children yet.
So what tends to happen is that the one who hasn't got a child is the one who, like you say, is the most in trouble. Mm. Those who had children earlier have one child, I'm not doing this again, take off the uterus. Now, since it's happening to a bunch of sisters, if you are the younger sister and you are marrying the younger sister, it is coming.
Mm.
That's the kind of one that if she gets pregnant very early, we are delighted. Or the one that we encourage actually, you know the problem that your siblings have children early. Very early. So if you are looking after somebody like this and you've looked after you and she tells you her elder sister had that problem and the sister before her had that problem, you'll be telling her, where's your younger sister? Please tell her, let's talk to her now.
Mm.
And let her know that before this situation reaches you,
you need to do something.
I mean, I would encourage you to have your children because we know that this may happen.
I see.
You understand? Certain diseases run in families. And there are families too that the people have got difficulty in having children, even though they are married to different kinds of, or the women, even though they are married to different kinds of men. And the one who kind of escapes that problem is the one who had the child in her teenage years.
Mm.
She ends up having 6 children. But all those who waited till 30 going,
there are problems.
They can't have children. There are questions that we ask about early menopause. At what age did your mother go into menopause? At what age did her sister go into menopause? Because I've met a 29-year-old woman who was menopausal. I've met 36.
In this Accra.
Mm. So knowing the fact that you can
26.
Be...
26?
Yeah, 29. She was 29. Wow. She had one child earlier and she was menopausal.
Wow.
I've met 32. I've met 36. So wow. If the family has a history of early menopause, this is not the kind of woman that you say that she's going to do 3-4 degrees before she has her first child.
No.
You know, you'd encourage her that, I beg you, have it early, because if it comes later, it's a lot more stressful.
Okay. Doc, so let me come back to this and take it, you know, how do you call it? Like, systematically, right? So, granted that we have succeeded in coming to the hospital and the guy has probably seen you back door, right? And told you that this is an observation my mother has made, but I won't be able to mention that it's an observation because that's not how I got the lady to come. But then now you have a background to why they are doing these tests. What can be done? Are there like just regular, you know, lab works or something that you would do to know that, okay, there could be a problem or there's no problem?
Yes, they are. But the most important thing is what the background information is.
Mm-hmm.
That gives you a kind of direction as to what you should be looking for.
So for this kind of background,
what is the direction? You need a lot more information.
Okay.
So you need a lot more information because we don't know. He knows how his mother-in-law to be struggled.
Yeah.
You need a lot more information as to what was the nature of that struggle. And I'll give you examples. And I'll give you two examples. One example is the menopause issue.
Okay.
Those who have early menopause. So she can tell you that, hey, she had this child when she was like 22 or 24. And then she got married, assuming she had this child, you know, from a previous relationship or a first marriage. And then they got divorced, but the second child was not coming. She got into a new marriage and they tried, but they never got her second child. And that would have just been because she went into menopause. She had what you call premature ovarian failure. The ovary just failed before time. And she was unable to have children subsequently. Now, that pathway is different from another person who would come and say she also had a child when she was about 22 or 25. And after that, she subsequently tried and did all kinds of fertility treatment and she didn't get pregnant. Her menses was coming, but her menses was irregular and wasn't coming consistently every month, or her menses was not coming at all. And she had, and the doctors did all kinds of investigations and told her everything was normal. But she also observed that she kept getting milk from her breasts. Two totally different situations.
Mm.
And the treatment of both would be different. So the one who comes with irregular menses, it's a hormonal problem. It's a genetic disposition because it comes down to a particular kind of defect and the inability to produce a certain mediator. And because your body doesn't produce that mediator, everything along that pathway is spoiled. And sometimes, if you're observant enough, you can actually meet the person, see the person, look at their face, look at their body, and you know what is happening to them.
Wow.
And you understand why she's not having children. And that kind of person, you tell the person, this is what we need to do for you to have some. Somebody may come and say, the reason why she didn't have those children, like I'm giving you a third example, even though I said I'll give you two, is that she'll get pregnant and she'll lose it. She'll get pregnant and she'll lose it. And she's lost like 7 pregnancies. And all the pregnancies came at a particular time in a particular way. And then we ask details, which the young man can't answer, but maybe the mother can answer, which is, when she's losing the pregnancy, this is what happens. This is what happens first. This is what happens second. This is what happens third. Once they tell you the order, you know what condition is worrying her. If the order is different, it's a different condition.
Doc,
So I need a lot more information to be able to tell you in what direction.
Exactly. One should go. I understand. And I know that it's easier if they were already a couple and had started having issues. That one, when they come to the hospital, we both know that we are having issues. Mm. And so when the doctor decides to start asking all these questions, be it to the man or the woman along the family path and all of these issues, finding out if your mother or your family members had had early menopause, you had had irregular menstruation and all of those things, it will be easy. And you will get answers, you know. But in a case where
they are not yet a couple,
you would
speak, the woman has, I mean, once she has agreed that this is something to look into, she now decides whether she wants him there or not, because we can handle it with her alone.
Okay.
And then based on that, she now has to decide as how much she will disclose.
Should we be advising would-be couples that it's important for them to actually book appointments, like they will go to the premarital counseling sessions? It's important to book appointments with, you know, gynecologists and maybe the other ones are, the one for the men is
a urologist,
and have some of these.
They end up seeing a gynecologist. When the gynecologist sees the man has a problem, then you see
they will refer you
to the urologist.
Great. So I mean, should we be making it a part of
I hesitate to
say yes
to make it's a mandatory requirement.
Okay.
And the reason is comes down to the first thing I said. Mm. Marriage is about companionship.
Mm.
Children are a bonus. And an undetermined, unpredictable bonus.
Hmm.
Because some people have children, but as somebody said, they don't have children. So whilst children are important, children neither makes nor breaks a marriage. People seem to think that, oh, my children are my everything. My children are my everything.
I think you should be saying children should neither make or break a marriage, because
because at the end of the day,
yeah,
at the end of the day, if you think about it,
mm-hmm.
if God gives you 80 years
mm-hmm.
on this earth, you will spend like 25 years preparing for a career, and you will spend, if you are lucky, 35 years on that career. And after that, you are dispensed with whatever career you are doing. It's like out of the door, out of the window. We are done with you. Go and find something else to do with your life. Assuming you get married at the age of 30 and you live 80 years, you have 50 years of marriage. And your children take up only 20 something years of that marriage. And once they are no longer dependent on you, they choose their life. And if you get up and you say, I want to give them a better life and send them to Abrochi, you have even dashed them away even on top. So there are a lot of things that people think, my children are my everything, and those children will leave.
True.
They will. They will leave. And that investment that people put all their relationship energy on their children, they end up being very disappointed when those children make decisions for their own life and take that step. And then you are now left alone, looking for the person that you used to be married to. Person may still be in the house, but you've abandoned the person a long time ago. It's like, where is that? I use man as a certificate. Where is that man that used to be around? Because now the children are no longer need me, so I'm now going to find where that husband is. And why are you staying out so late? And why you didn't realize all that before, because the focus was on the children. And so that is and.
And that's a stark reality.
Charlie, it is, but a discussion for a different day.
I was counting mine and realized that, hey, maybe in another 5 or 6
Masa,
years, you will be on your own.
You will be on your own, and you then realize the fact that... That investment in that relationship...
It's important.
My parents have been married for over 50 years, and with all their challenges and all that kind of stuff, my father, I think now, is more a loving husband than he was all those years. And so my mother is now reaping the reward of sticking with that
exactly.
very interesting man. But I'm just trying to let you know that it's a 50-plus year journey of that relationship. And having children...
With or without children.
Having children is only... Let's say 25 years
of it.
You understand? So, the relationship is far more important than the children.
Doc, you know, having
and we, said- and we must make that, we must put that in perspective. However, we also know that we are Africans.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that children are a very, very important part of our culture.
And from where you sit.
And our society. And if you don't, if you're not purposeful about having children early in life, you will struggle later in life. And you will spend any amount of money. You have the money now, but you may not succeed. So if you are a normal couple that has no problem, you can afford to say, hey, let's wait and take it as it comes. But if you know that there's a problem, if you know the man's brothers all have difficulty in having children, there's a problem. If you know the woman's sisters have difficulty in having children, there's a problem.
Okay.
If you know the mother had difficulty in having this child and her mother's sisters are having difficulty, there's a problem. You need to go in with your eyes wide open. In other words, let's do our testing. Let's know what the problem is. Let's know we can handle it. Because it comes down to this sickle cell SSAS thing. Better know you are SS or AS, AS. Know you have a 1 in 4 chance of having an SS child. And know that, hey, we can handle it. Or I'm willing to spend the money to do an IVF. And they'll do genetic testing so that they'll only transfer the embryos that are AS or AA. But they will not transfer the embryos which are SS. In other words, you are being very deliberate about we'll make it. The investment, we'll find the money. When the time comes, we'll do it so that they can transfer the right kind of embryo. You are fine. Because you know, you've planned for it, you've put money aside for it. It means we'll decide that for the first 3-4 years, we'll use contraception throughout and make sure that we are financially stable so we can take that next step. Not a problem. And we talk about SS a lot. We don't talk about things like thalassemia, which you may discover that if you have a S thalassemia, it's quite a challenging problem.
What is that one?
It's another blood disorder. So there you have sickle cell that we all know about. Thalassemia too is another one. So if you're AS, you're marrying somebody who is A with a thalassemia, then you know that the risk of having a child with that combination is possible.
Okay.
So these are all things that if you test, we know, you go ahead.
Great. So I was saying that from where you sit,
mm-hmm.
you have seen the struggles people go through. Having said that, look, it's also about the companionship. You've seen the struggles people go through regardless to have children if it is not coming naturally, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know you also know marriages that have broken down because we tried to have children, we did whatever it is, and it's not happening. And one person desires a child so badly that I may have to go and be able to have children, you know, elsewhere. So I think our story will be that have these conversations about children if you're planning to get married, especially so if you desire to have children in the marriage. For those of, I mean, the group that Dr. mentioned earlier who would say that whether we have children or not, we are good, this may really not be your focus. But if you're one that is very, very hell-bent on at all costs, this marriage must produce kids. Then he made a very important point that I noted. You will also have to be very, very deliberate about observing your family patterns as an individual and don't leave the work for somebody else to observe for you. You know that, okay, my auntie has this struggle, my mom has this struggle. If it's you, the man, you know this has happened, this has happened, this has happened. Sometimes you are afraid that when I go and open up to my partner, then they are afraid and may want to, you know, run away. But then I think that, like Doc is saying, on your own, you may begin to find out, see a doctor and begin to find out what your issues are, what your chances are, and begin to have conversations around it ahead of, you know, the marriage. What we are trying to establish here this morning is that if you are in that category.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn,
and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Of come what may, this marriage must produce children. Then don't leave it to chance, or don't leave the conversation to just the number of children you want to have and be excited about it. And you know, like when I was pregnant with my twins, I wanted a boy and a girl. Like I had determined that already, you know. So I was buying pink and blue. Like I was just it was done in me, my head. And then I had two girls. So who is wearing the blue and who is wearing the pink? So you alternate. Today, if you wear the blue, tomorrow, and in your heart, you feel disappointed, you know. But then this is what God has blessed you with. And so we'll have to take some of these conversations very serious. Doc, I want us to go beyond this particular one and also find out. But that will be after our break. Also find out. So when people are planning to get married, we do a lot of things. We go to premarital counseling. We get to know our families. We get to know our friends. We do a lot of things, you know, because you may be courting for about sometimes 2 years before you get married. So a lot of things happen within the period. I want us to just try and put it in proper perspective for people who are planning to get married. Which ones are the very important, because we're having a medical conversation, important medical checks, should they not leave to chance at all? Daniela was asking, how healthy are you? And must you disclose your medical conditions and your status and whatever it is to your would-be partner? If you choose not to, why are you not telling? And how would it impact the marriage in future? And that's the next leg of the conversation I want us to have. But I'd like to remind our audience that we are so loved by the people who put their money on this show. And I have, you know, some information from them for us.
Yamvita is fortified with Nutri-V, which contains 16 essential vitamins and minerals, including zinc, calcium, and iron for your baby's healthy growth. A delicious way to grow. This advert is FDA approved.
In life, choice is good, but choice plus safety is way better. Your safety and comfort is paramount. Under the cylinder recirculation model, you can buy LPG in a safe environment. All cylinders are inspected and maintained to the best safety standards, so your safety is assured. Just take your empty cylinder to the nearest exchange point and swap it for a filled cylinder. Different cylinder sizes will be available to meet your pocket size. Imagine cooking in a smoke-free environment. This will improve the health and well-being of you and your family. Choose LPG in a safer model of distribution. Cylinder recirculation model. Securing your safety. Creating more jobs. A message from the National Petroleum Authority under the patronage of the Ministry of Energy.
There's going to come a time that the church will rise as the highest of all the mountains, and saviors will be raised in the church to deal with the world system. And let it be now. We need to have a national focus. We don't have to lose this ambition, or else we work against the Great Commission.
They are equipped in righteousness. The agenda. to possess the nations. Welcome to an equipping center of the word and prayer on Pentecost Hour. Pentecost Hour comes to you on Joy 99.7 FM, 1:30 p.m. every Sunday.
FM, Home Affairs, and my guest is Dr. Paddy Ayete, Chief Servant, Elymas Health. He's a consultant gynecologist obstetrician. Doc, Ibika Juana.
Oh, that is fine. There's more, but it doesn't matter.
And we're having a conversation about, you know, fertility issues and probably your general well-being before you get married. Some of those things that will come back to haunt you. How do you go about it? What started the conversation off for us was this young man's mother who observed that, look, the girl you're planning to get married, I think that they have fertility issues in their home. You should begin to have conversations around it and begin to seek help before you get into the marriage. Don't step into it blindly. And then maybe after 2-3 years, you now begin to run around. I think I have observed this. And Doc said that the woman was right to have made that observation because it's possible that there could be, you know, something that would be affecting their fertility somewhere. He also praised the young man for not just dismissing it, but listening to his mom and deciding that, look, I would want to seek help. Not that I want to leave the woman in any way, but it would be great if we sought help. It is how to go about breaking the whole issue to the woman and making it plain that, look, this and this and this and this is what it is. You know, that's the bit that's a bit dicey, but we've moved past that. When you find, I mean, like Doc said, your audience will determine your approach. So depending on who you are dating, you would have known them for a while. How you will go about it, you should know because you are with a person. And then we got into the whole conversation, you know, about some of the possible symptoms and some of the possible reasons you could be having fertility issues even ahead of the marriage and some of the things you can do about it. In a bit, I want us to talk about, you know, all the other things that you should be knowing when it comes to your health and wellness. For instance, I sit with my would-be partner, and today we have decided to have conversations about our health and how fit we are. What should we be talking about? What should we be concentrating on? And if we need help, where do we turn to? Also talk about how important these conversations are and how it may come back to really impact the beauty of the relationship when we leave them to chance. But ahead of that, Yum Vita infant cereal with milk is fortified with Nutri-V, which contains 16 essential vitamins and minerals, including zinc, iron, and calcium to aid in baby's healthy growth. It comes in 3 delicious flavors, maize and wheat, rice and wheat variants, and in 3 unique pack sizes, the 50 gram, the 400 gram tea, and then the 350 gram block bottom pouch. Get the pack size that best suits your family needs. Yum Vita, a delicious way to grow. And this morning, I encourage you to enrich your breakfast with the nourishing goodness of Dano Milk Cool Cow Instant Powdered Milk. The rich taste of Dano Milk makes a perfect combination with your tea, oats, cocoa, and others to give you the great tasting breakfast you've always desired. Dano Milk Cool Cow is fortified with vitamin A and is a good source of protein and nutrients such as vitamin B12 and iodine to help keep you nourished and strong always. Dano Milk is affordable and in a shop near you. Choose Dano Milk today for your nourishment and build your strength every day. Dano Milk, go for it. Yumvita infant cereal with milk is fortified with Nutri-V, which contains 16 essential vitamins and including including zinc, iron and calcium to aid in baby's healthy growth. I told you this earlier. So remember and ensure that you're getting Yumvita infant cereal for your baby. Various flavors you can enjoy. The maize is there, the wheat and rice is there, and you also have all the wheat variants. Also, it comes in different pack sizes. You can get the 50 gram, you can get the 400 gram tea, and the 350 gram block bottom pouch. So go on and let your family enjoy Yumvita, especially the babies. And get a pack size that suits your family needs. You can find them in the, you know, the corner shop around your house. It's there, it's everywhere. It's a delicious way to grow Yumvita. And oh yay, residents and potential residents of Tema, Ashaiman, Michelle Camp, Afienya, Dawenya, Pram Pram, Chopolinungwa, and Spencer's Road, amongst others, we have good news for you. I'm talking to you about the EcoBank Joy News Habitat Fair, and that is coming to your doorstep this September. Date is the 15th through to Sunday, the 17th of September. Venue, Tema Municipal Assembly Premises, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. daily on these 3 days, 15th, 16th, 17th. We're pitching camp at the Tema Municipal Assembly Premises. Exhibition will include exhibitors, include finance companies, real estate developers, insurance, land vendors, providers of housing accessories, home appliances, furniture, home security, and roofing, among other building materials. Side attraction, there will be a lot of giveaways from the exhibitors and the organizers. To exhibit, please call 0540 110 389 or 0244 260 653. Now, the EcoBank Joy News Habitat Fair is in partnership with EcoBank, the Pan African Bank, and the Planned City Extension Project from Cities and Habitats, and sponsored by Elegant Homes, where quality meets value. Global Lighting, your solution to quality lighting. Syntex Tank, a year strong, a year tough. Gold Key Properties, building prestige since 1997. Springfield Estates, where dreams are built. Virtual Security, complete security solutions. DBS, your roof experts. Virtual InfoSec Africa, security solutions by design. Saint Gobain, making the world a better place. And Clifton Homes, beautiful homes, wise investment. The Kensington Heights, Airport City, Kumasi, by HDG Homes Limited. Great topic, Edem. What should we do? What about if you just want to have children together, but marriage is not in the immediate plans? Hey, we have a great understanding relationship, but we are not dating. The man is in his early 40s and is AS, and the woman is in her early 40s and is AA. However, she has had a myomectomy in 2021. Thanks.
I don't see what the question is.
Myself.
I've read it.
You have also seen it.
They said they have a great understanding.
Relationship.
Who are we to come in?
But they are not dating.
It is.
Yet you are thinking of having children together. This one, dear.
There are so many potential pitfalls inside, but I don't know which part we are supposed to address.
If you are not dating, it means that you're not being amorous in any way, right?
Like, presumably,
you're not being
Presumably.
Yes, because how do you begin to have sex with somebody you are not dating but have a good... I don't understand it.
I don't understand
it. Maybe you might want to, you know, explain to us a bit further.
Or she's asking, what should they do to get married, even to have children, even though they've agreed that we are not dating?
No, I don't know how you...
But who is going to be... is she not going to turn around someday and say you're not being a good father to this child?
I have been enjoying your discussions on this issue, Doc. Is it possible the egg and the spermatozoa fight or are repulsive?
I wouldn't say they fight. But some eggs have there's a shell around it, and some eggs just have very resistant shells. That makes it difficult for the sperm to penetrate. Then there are some sperm too that they in university we say they have POP. They don't have the enzyme that will allow them to dissolve the shell to be able to enter. And so all some sperm have got poor movement. Hmm. So even if you put them there, they are not able to swim to the target or to enter. So all those are things that, you know, can prevent the sperm from combining with the egg. And so they are challenges, and they do occur, especially when you have and can cause fertility problems. However, there are ways you can fix it. There's a method by which you can actually take the sperm and inject it into the egg. It's a technique they call ICSI. And you inject the sperm into the egg. And once you're able to do that successfully, you can actually achieve a pregnancy. So even the sperm that have POP, there's hope for them.
Great. Doc, back to our issue. We're finding out now, are there some necessary health checks that we need to make if we sit down to have a conversation as would-be couples when it comes to health? What should we be talking about, okay, especially so in related to
this one? So generally there are things that, you know, we routinely ask for. You want to know what your blood group is. Mm-hmm. You want to know what your sickling status is. In our part of the world, that is really important.
Okay.
And then you do stuff like HIV, mm-hmm. Hepatitis B, C, those things. Those things are more routinely requested for. Then there are other tests that come about if there are more specific concerns. So you may come back and say, hey, is the fertility, we are concerned about our fertility. For the man, it means we need to see your sperm.
Okay.
It means you need to ejaculate into a bottle for us to see your sperm. That is the way we do it. That process of ejaculating into the bottle brings up certain challenges. How are you going to ask a man who is a virgin, who does not masturbate, to produce sperm?
Doc, are you asking
me? I'm asking you.
Hey.
So you understand the challenge?
I do.
Medical people say we prefer it by masturbation than by sex. And the reason is that we are concerned that you are not able to hold your ejaculation until the penis is in the bottle.
Mm.
So you lose some.
Yeah.
Before all gets into the bottle. Mm. There are condoms that we can give you, special kinds of condoms that you can have sex wearing that condom. So if you ejaculate into the condom, we can now use that immediately and run the test on that. But other than that, it's a problem. Like the question that I asked, you haven't given me an answer yet.
I don't have an answer to it. In fact, I don't want to think about an answer.
So that is, you know, a problem for the men. The other side, for the women, the good thing about testing women is that it's generally a blood test.
Okay.
So with a blood test, we can tell you, do you have eggs? Are the eggs of reasonable quality?
Okay.
Do you have other hormonal problems that can block your ability to ovulate?
Mm.
Do you ovulate? We can do all that with just blood tests. We cannot check your tubes without touching you. So the tube test is either an X-ray HSG, it's painful, or we do a saline hysterosonogram. That is less painful, and you don't need X-ray radiation to be able to do that. Or you can do a laparoscopy, which is invasive. So testing for tubes requires a little bit more intervention. It's a bit more invasive than if you are just doing the hormonal test and an ultrasound that will tell us about that kind of stuff. So, but generally, that should give us a good idea. But the most important thing would be the questions that we ask.
Yeah.
That history will give us an indication as to where potential problems may arise and what can be done about it. I must say that no matter what your challenge is, there's a solution. The solution may or may not be acceptable to you, but there is a solution. But knowing that the challenge is there fairly early allows you to have a lot more options in the solutions chamber than knowing later where your options are significantly reduced. So, but there are tests that we can do to try and find out exactly where, if there's a challenge. And if you're trying to...
A t-shirt and jeans, mac and cheese, oceans and sunsets. Some things in life are an obvious match, like RIAs and Schwab Advisor Services, the number one choice for independent advisors looking for a custodian who can help them go further. With all the wealth services, technology, and support an RIA firm needs, the difference is so obvious, it's Schwabious. Find your match and learn why custody is just the beginning at schwabious.com.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail? Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
If you're planning to get married, you can avail yourself of it. The other part of the question that you asked was if you should disclose. Disclosure is up to you.
Mm.
I personally believe that you do your tests and you do your tests and the two of us decide to exchange. Mm. But that exchange of that information is up to the two of us. I don't agree with churches who are insisting that they want to see your result. It's none of your business.
Yeah.
It is our business. It is our business. You understand?
Yes.
We can inform you to help us, to counsel us about the decision that we are making. But it is our business. You can be HIV positive and be on full treatment. And we test your blood and we can't find any viruses. That means you can't transmit the infection to somebody. Does that mean you shouldn't get married?
No.
No. There are solutions. You can be ASAS. But we say we've put money aside and we're willing to do the IVF and the genetic testing to be able to put in the right kind of baby. Does that mean you shouldn't get married? No.
You shouldn't.
Unfortunately, sometimes that counsel you are given is limited by the knowledge or the ignorance of the counselee,
exactly.
Of the counselor.
Exactly.
Who is not aware of the options that are available. You understand?
Yeah.
That, oh, you can't do this. Actually, you can. There's a way. It will cost you a bit more, or this is the effort that it will require. So can we go? Are we willing to make that effort? Yes, yes. If you think the person is the one you want to spend the rest of your life with, look, somebody abdicated from the throne because of the woman he wanted to marry. The whole throne refused to be king. He put his happiness first. So at the end of the day, it all comes down to give the client options, let them choose what they want to do. I believe they should disclose to each other. It should be full disclosure. This is my result. This is your result. We discuss it in full. What are we going to do about it? Or we are happy. There's no problem to this. Or this is the challenge. Can you live with it? Yes. Yeah, I can deal with your baggage. You know that program? Can you handle your baggage? Yeah, I can handle her baggage. And the two of them work out together. Program called Baggage. Yes. This guy was the host, the crazy guy. He was the host. I've forgotten his name. And
crazy guy is that?
The guy who does, the one who people come on the show and they come and fight.
Oh,
white guy, he was the Vermont, he ran for Vermont governor or something.
Like the name is not coming readily.
Springer, Jerry Springer.
Okay.
Yes. He had a program called Baggage, and they say, what are your, then you tell your secrets, and they said, can I handle baggage? Yes.
And then you carry it together.
And you carry the person together.
Love me, love my dog.
So, yes, precisely. So, the fact that you have this problem, I mean, I know somebody who has married somebody who, you know, she has a distinct problem, and she knows that this is the challenge that has come with. And she disclosed it to the gentleman. And the gentleman said, yeah, I love you and I'd marry you. And they are married.
Great.
So it doesn't mean that the person is not going to marry you just because. And you had better tell the person now for the person to walk away, if they walk away, than for them to walk away later on after you invested so many years and, you know, he says, I can't deal with this anymore.
I totally agree with you, Doc. So, I mean, like you rightly said, I think from the beginning of the show, you mentioned that there is, this category of women that sometimes no matter what you do, they are unable to carry a baby.
Mm.
Apart from that, the learnings I am picking up from this conversation is that there are possible solutions to most of the challenges that people are likely to face when it comes to fertility issues, right?
Yes.
So there shouldn't be any, I mean, if you're not seeking help, then you're doing yourself. But then if you're being open about it and having conversations about it and the challenges are identified, there is most likely, I mean, this one I am hearing from you about the ASAS thing, cries, okay, now there's solution to almost everything, you know, the solution to almost everything. So in the beginning I mentioned that knowledge is power. Once you have the knowledge and you're being helped by a medical practitioner on how to go about some of these things, there's no point being on anybody's neck and, you know, killing your partner and calling them names, because if you don't know, then that's a problem. But if you know, go out there and seek help. Ask the questions. Sometimes just pay a visit to Dr. Aite and then ask questions. You know, Doc, book an appointment. Go there. We want to ask questions. What should we be looking out for? Could this be this? Could this be this? It's not like you have a problem. It's as part of dating. It should be part of the things you're doing. To just book a session with a gynecologist and go and have a conversation. Go ask all the questions. And then you know what you're doing. So I'll share the Elima's health number with you before we go. Right about now, I'm going to have a conversation with my sofa mommy. You know, we have a very beautiful program coming up, the Charismatic Evangelistic Ministry. We call it the Love Births 2023. It's a conference for the singles and married. And the theme is Relational Matters, the Hidden Truth. Yours truly, I'm going to be the moderator, and I am looking forward, you know, to it. On we have Reverend Dr. Chidema in Waima of Nigeria coming. You have Reverend Dr. Samuel Kisiedu, he will be speaking. Mama Francisca Duncan Williams will be speaking, and then Reverend Emmanuel Siedu Apia, he will also be speaking. And the hosts are Reverend Dr. Steve and Reverend Mrs. Jane Mensah. This will be at the Charismatic Evangelistic Ministry. That's where I fellowship, and I'm part of the planning committee, so I'm very excited about this. And in a bit, I will be speaking to Mama Jane. But I have this message here, very, very nice message. Let me read it before I go onto the phone line to speak to Mama Jane. I identify with the topic you are discussing, how I wish I had a regular fertility test before getting married. Sometimes we tend to become a burden to the woman we married, especially when after 4 years, you haven't honored her with a child. I am urging all brothers to do regular fertility tests, especially when you're 25 years old and above. As for our women, must they all give birth before 30? Whether married or unmarried, sometimes it is not one's fault that they married late, especially when they had no one to marry till they turn 35 plus. Good morning. I'm not sure Doc is insisting that everybody should marry before. What I have heard almost every gynae say is that you have healthier children, you have better chances, and all of those. It's good when it is all, I mean, before or by 30, right? Yes.
Precisely so.
Great.
I had a client who got married around 41 and had a child at 42. No problems by herself.
Exactly.
No, with fibroids and everything, the baby still
survived
and came out, and she's a delighted mother. So it is not, there are people who have their first child above the age of 40 without any problems.
Great.
But there are a lot of people who struggle, because fertility in women drops drastically after 35 and precipitously after 40.
All right. So that's the end of the matter. That is why we are being advised that if all things work out for you for good, especially so if it is you who is deliberately delaying it, then the chances of you having issues after especially 35 are there. So you have the knowledge, you have the information, then you do whatever it is that you want to do with it. I'm not sure any doctor can come to your house and come and drag you and say, by force, come and give birth. Doesn't happen anywhere, but it's important that we are armed with knowledge. Is Mama Jane on the line? Hi, Mommy, good morning. Mommy, can you hear me?
Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, great. This is Reverend Mrs. Jane Mensah, First Lady, Charismatic Evangelistic Ministry, and she is also the leader of the Love Birds Conference. That's the name for the marriage counseling unit of the church. Mommy, we have this program coming up from the 13th to the 17th of September. Could you tell us a bit more about it?
Yes, this is a program organized for both singles and married in the church, and it's purposely targeted at handling basic issues within the family. We believe that even for those who are not married, they spend years studying to be a lawyer, doctor, professor, but we don't have too much information and planning and knowledge before we go into a very powerful institution like marriage. So we want to catch them early, catch them young, where we'll talk about issues concerning marriage, relationships, so that they're able to tailor and order their relationships very well. We're also trying to reach out to the married in society, because we believe strongly that the strength of society, the strength of the church, comes from the strength of the family. The family is the foundation. There are a lot of issues in this with marriages.
Great.
People are going through a lot of pain. People, some even want out, but we want to come out and tell them that it can work. There are basic principles, underlying principles, that we like to teach. We also want to give the opportunity for people to ask
questions.
Godly questions.
Great.
So we'll be having a box out where as you come in, you just drop your questions and we'll answer it generally. So nobody really knows
who
is asking
the question.
Great. There's a place for people to air the things that are worrying them, and to be able to get godly answers as well.
Beautiful.
Because we have very good counselors, very experienced counselors
who all be
in
there,
and we just want to help.
Thank you very much, Mommy. And let me remind
us
that it's from the 13th to the 17th. We have morning sessions and evening sessions. And morning sessions start from 9 a.m. through to midday, and then the evening starts at 6 p.m. through to 9 p.m. Not Legon. Charismatic Evangelistic Ministry, SEM or CEM, that is where it is happening, and we are inviting all of you to come join us. Thank you very much, Mommy.
Thank you very much.
We'll see
Thank you.
You. All right. And great. And finally, let me remind us again that Yum Vita Infant Cereal with Milk is fortified with Nutri-V, and it comes with 16 essential vitamins, including zinc, iron, calcium, and all of these will aid in your baby's growth. Also, you can have it in three delicious flavors. You have the maize, the wheat, the rice and wheat variants as well. And also,